They're like, we're out of substitute teachers. Damon ate them all. Klaus does give me iPad kid, for sure.
Oh my god. Medieval iPad kid is so funny. Oh my god,
Klaus would love Fortnite.
Wait, you don't like Damon just ripping out hearts?
I love Damon ripping out hearts.
I love it.
And she says, did you miss me?
And we all go, yes.
Hi, I'm Morgan.
And I'm Elle.
And this is
The Vampire
Journals. This is episode 6 of season 4. We all go a little mad sometimes.
I feel like that's how you're supposed to read it out loud. Mm-hmm. Is that a quote from something? Or?
It's like adjacent to Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, everyone's a little mad here.
Yeah.
It feels like the line, it feels like it should be in a Panic at the Disco song circa like 2006.
Yes. I'm going to Google it and see if anything comes up.
Yeah.
The person Googling this is Bridget Woodbury.
Hi, I'm Bridget Woodbury, and I am a tattoo artist with strong opinions.
Yeah. What is your strong opinion of the week?
My strongest opinion is that it was really irresponsible of Jeremy to start with a hand tat.
Yeah.
It's a statement.
Yeah. He started with like the outer like back of his hand and is sort of building up to a sleeve, which feels like a backwards.
It's such an obviously, like, to start with a hand tattoo is such a like, hey everyone, I have a tattoo.
Yeah. I know that it's like, that's kind of like conventional tattoo wisdom, and I honestly understand why.
I think it's reasonable.
It seems really reasonable to me, and also like practical, because I think it, if not illegal, it's definitely unethical to not hire someone because they have a hand tattoo, but like, a lot of people will just not hire you if you have visible tattoos on your
hands. Yeah, the like, the thing I always hear is that you don't do quote unquote job killers on people that are not tattooed heavily.
Yeah, otherwise. Because I think that they like don't understand the fact that like some people will treat you differently if you look like you're really heavily tattooed.
And also because it seems like it's like a, it seems like an acting out.
Yeah.
Thing, right.
Yeah.
If someone's only interested in starting there.
Right.
It's like, oh, interesting. Maybe you're not in the right headspace.
They also take a long time. Like, this is still, this tattoo is from like November and it's still not totally healed. Like, there's still raised parts that haven't healed.
Because your skin is so thin.
The skin, when you use your hand, like, you can't rest that part of your.
So, like, so it hasn't, like it's still a little raised.
Yeah. And I can see it's like, your hands are always out in sunlight too. Like, you know, you can, like, cover up most other parts of your body.
So, you shouldn't, like, someone who doesn't know how to take care of a tattoo already, you shouldn't tattoo their.
There's a lot of reasons it feels like it makes sense. You know what other thought that I have that like I would love a tattoo artist's input on is like, so Jeremy is having like a magical tattoo grow on his body, and like I'm just thinking now how much it would suck if a magical tattoo started growing on my body and it was like in an art style that I didn't like.
But also no one can see it but you.
Yeah, but it would annoy me. Like, I don't care about it.
Because then you'd have
people.
To look at art.
Oh, no, I'm saying that's bad.
Yeah.
Oh,
like, you have there's to also, you're people like, can see it if they can see ghosts, right? So, all, sorry.
No,
all,
because I think it's disconnected from
it's,
that.
He's
I
got
think,
oh, it's because he's a hunter.
Yeah, it's just the hunter.
He's
thing.
A hunter so, sorry, and the, like, a ghost looking.
Some of the spookiest guys I know are going to see a tattoo I hate on my body.
Embarrassing.
Nightmare.
Embarrassing.
I think the show has not drawn any connection between the fact that Jeremy can see the hunter tattoo and Jeremy can see ghosts.
Yeah,
not at all. The show has not drawn a
single
line between
that.
That
was us speculating early.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think, so I feel like laser removal is probably impossible for a magical
tattoo. Because it's magic.
Because it's magic.
Unless you can get a magic laser.
Oh, if Bonnie can make him a magic laser.
Yeah. Maybe Bonnie could make him a magic laser.
That feels real. Yeah. What about a cover-up?
What happens if you already have a tattoo and it's like,
does it change? Oh, that would
it's
be
It's like
cool.
too many layers on top of each other.
It would just get really
It's just
muddled.
All like muddled.
And then you can't see it.
Now, would you... Counterpoint, if it was a tattoo you thought was really cool, would you get it for real?
Yeah. I might. If I thought it was sick, I'd be like, I would literally draw it to the best of my abilities.
Like,
and
trace
take it to a tattoo artist and be like, really careful about lining it up. Because if you get it like a millimeter off, that would be
God.
So frustrating.
Nightmare.
Yeah. But no, if it was something that I could like get a tattoo artist to replicate and I loved it, that'd be sick. I mean,
and Jeremy can
tattoo.
Draw.
Oh my God.
True.
So he would be able to like get them lines right.
Yeah. Yeah. This one is giving me a little bit like a Marauder's map in the front of a Lord of the Rings book.
That
like,
is totally
which is
the
not
style
really my
it.
jam.
Yeah, it's
tattoo
not,
style wise.
Yeah,
it's not ugly, little sparkly pet planets.
It's not little planets and little Mothman.
Oh, if little you Mothman. Had Mothman, it would be so cute if every, and I know this isn't how it works, but if every potential, like their own tattoos reflected their yeah. personal style, like a cutie
it
mark.
Is, yeah, it is a very like as a tattoo style, it is give it, like it is a very masculine one.
Yeah,
you know, which makes sense given that we saw the birth of the of them, right? We did that flashback where it was all those identical men in capes,
yeah,
yeah,
shirtless in capes mm-hmm. with swords,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that the tattoo style really reflects it, how it was,
yeah, that
created.
Druidic yeah. vibe.
No, like, I think it was... Jeremy's gonna love it because it's gonna like he's gonna think it butches him up.
Yeah,
do you think he's gonna grow his hair out? That'd be so fun.
Oh, and like do like man. Druidy like Viking braids.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Wait. Sorry. I need to like complete this thought of like if Hannah and Bridget were vampire hunters, if Bridget had like a galaxy that had a new planet every time that you killed a vampire, so and Hannah sick. If you had like if a new flower grew
oh,
every
that.
Time
for like, I was cute. Thinking about mine would be like
a new rat
a new aww. rat,
because listeners, Morgan does have a rat tattoo.
Yeah, I have rat two rats.
Rats
yeah on my rat tattoo, my first two rats I ever owned.
Your rat tattooey.
My rat tattooey. Mm-hmm. It would be a chunky little cute rat pointing to whatever the map has to point to.
Oh, yes. Oh,
cute.
That's
yeah.
so cute. What would yours be, Elle?
I don't have any tattoos. The one tattoo I've thought about getting like the most seriously would be like a tarot design, like yeah. either the Fool or Death, or mm-hmm. the Fool but as a skeleton. So maybe a different tarot card every time I kill a vampire.
Also in our kitchen studio. No, not a kitchen studio. Also in our podcast studio.
Now is when you're
going to
stop saying that.
I want so much coffee.
You've been doing it for months.
I know. Hannah Giapanos.
Hi.
Hi. Who are you?
Oh, hi.
What are you the expert in?
Right. So I think you guys called me in because I'm the TA for Professor Atticus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You've been working on with him on studying, I believe, the legend of the immortal guy Silas.
Yeah. He's really into that.
This is Professor Atticus Shane.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You want to tell our listeners why you refuse to call him Shane?
It's just weird. Like out of character. It's
they,
weird.
They introduced this character. I immediately got very randy for him. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, oh, and his name's Shane. And I was like, oh, strange. Because we already have one.
Yeah.
We have a Shane.
Yeah, we have a Shane.
They're married to Morgan.
They're married yeah. to Morgan. And they've been on the podcast yeah. and have a different energy.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah. Then the Misha Collins we have at home.
It's
yeah.
like if you extracted all the Muppet from our Shane, maybe you'd get oh. Professor Atticus.
Yeah, because there's a Venn diagram.
And added some like woo-woo, like witchy stuff, yeah, yeah, which yeah. is very not Shane.
Yeah, he, yeah. like TV Professor Atticus, he's got a lot of like intensity, but also like a willingness to laugh at himself.
Yeah, I think that like real Shane and fake Shane overlap in nerd.
Sure.
Yes, and also big brown eyes.
Okay.
I could not have told you either of their eye color, but I believe you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This sounds like a Morgan specific.
Yeah. The big brown eyes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that you're in love.
Thank you.
Happy
love
you.
Is great. Bringing it back to speaking Professor of love. Atticus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because also insane character name, Professor Atticus, yeah.
Atticus Shane.
Shane.
Which
Shane
is why, is which is why they don't use Professor or Atticus when they talk about
they
him.
Do, just they say do Shane. Keep saying Professor Shane. They yeah. do keep saying that.
Right.
But so Professor Atticus and I have like sort of, you know, yeah. I mean like we have a working relationship, but
is
we
it
also
forbidden?
Have. We are very professional.
Discouraged. You keep things professional.
We keep things so professional during office hours.
Something I really, really love about the way that you podcast is that when you're trying to sound horny about something, you get so close to the microphone.
Yeah, you like eat the microphone.
You get so close and so quiet to the microphone.
I learned how close to be to the microphone mm-hmm. from Selena. And if you've ever seen the photos of her microphones after shows where it's got her lipstick all over it.
I love that.
It's very iconic.
I do have a piece of information about the title of this episode, ooh, which is that it's a Norman Bates quote.
Stop.
Wait, what is the title of this episode?
We all go a little mad sometimes. It's from Psycho.
That's why I felt the need to say it in that tone. You know what? Yep. It's because in the movie he goes, we all go a little mad sometimes.
Yep, you did it exactly right. Nailed it.
It was in my subconscious. Okay, so in that, so is Elena the Norman Bates of this episode?
Interesting.
Because I guess. The premise, well, she is the one going mad.
Yeah, so the premise is that Elena is
the Kathy Bates.
I'm always saying this. The premise of the episode is that, so last time Jordan the Vampire Hunter was killed by Elena. And
Jordan the Vampire Slayer.
Jordan the Vampire Slayer. There is a thing called a Hunter's Curse. Where if you kill a hunter, if a creature of the night kills a hunter, then they are haunted by hallucinations that will, and I guess trigger warning for the whole episode, because it's going to be like the majority of what we talk about, but the hallucinations that will bait them to kill themselves until they do it.
Yeah, trigger warning, there's a lot of talk of suicide.
Quite a lot of ideation.
In this episode.
Yeah, it's like... the hunter will do their job one last time.
Yeah, like they'll make sure that you die. Yeah. And like, I do love the idea of a curse that like drags down the killer with the killed.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially for a hunter.
Killer. The killer.
I love a curse that's like, I will complete my final.
Yeah. Right, like that's very metal. That's cool. It's just, another notch in the Vampire Diaries belt of like, handling suicide with all the subtlety that like a 12-year-old would.
Yeah.
A 12-year-old cudgel.
But okay, so Elena is, we start off this episode with like a genuinely really cool cold open. Elena's in her house. It's like dark. It's one of those kind of horror movie directed sequences. He shows up, he's covered in blood, and he's like, you killed me, and he's going for her. She runs downstairs. Jeremy hears her.
She yells for Jeremy.
Yeah. So he,
because she thinks that he's a ghost.
Right.
Yeah. So, and she's like, Jeremy, like, check out this ghost.
Yeah.
And this is this also shows that she's not having a dream, because when she shouts, she's shouting for real, and he wakes up.
Yes. Right. So we're not in a dream, but she's like, this
because
is a ghost.
We're like moments after the close of the last episode. Yeah. Where she thinks that she just woke up for a dream where it says like killer and blood on a mirror.
Yes.
So she's like going, or she's like having fevered dreams or whatever, is like, fuck it, I'm going to go downstairs. And then thinks the ghost appears.
Exactly. So she like, so he says, if I was a ghost, could I do this? He grabs her and he's restraining her. So she grabs a knife and stabs him, but then him turns into Jeremy, and she has in real life stabbed her brother Jeremy in the neck, and his blood is spurting everywhere, and it's like, it was actually,
it's really crazy.
It worked well.
I love so much when they lean into the horror movie tropes for like a cold open or an ending of the episode or something.
Yeah, like, and when there's like legitimate gore, it always takes me so I'm so surprised by it every time, because it happens rarely enough that it feels so real, as opposed to the cartoonishness of everything else.
Yes.
Well, you don't like Damon just ripping out hearts?
I love Damon ripping out hearts.
I love it.
But it's a different tone.
Exactly.
Remember when Damon stabbed that guy with a gun?
Yeah.
That was so good.
Yeah, but Jeremy is wearing the don't die ring, so like, he's fine. But he comes to on the couch. Elena feels terrible, and Damon is there.
Can I just mention really quick? It's worth mentioning that like, before he comes to, Damon says something like, oh, it's a good thing he didn't take off the ring that drove Alaric crazy. Which, like, I do think it's worth mentioning, right? Like, Jeremy has the same ring that Alaric, when he was dying and coming back a lot, gave him a Dark Lark look.
You know what, though? Maybe it's just that Alaric's...
Alaric was weaker.
It could be that Alaric has a feeble little brain.
I think
the way,
because so also it was Esther of, and is she busy now?
She's the other side. She's busy. But like, the way sometimes this show will ignore certain things that don't do the like service to the plot anymore, this is kind of a really good example of that, because it kind of showed the ring as like a haunting, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to slowly take over you. give you some kind of psychosis. The more
you use it, the more effect it has over you.
Yeah.
Right.
But now it's kind of like, well, we've moved on to this
new
thing.
We did that online.
Yeah, we did that. But they also, like, Jeremy hasn't used it nearly as many times.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Like, there was a whole comedy bit on how much they were doing it to Alaric. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That plus Esther is busy.
Before Jeremy wakes up, Damon is like, well, why did you call me? And Elena's like, I don't trust Stefan right now.
Yeah, which fair. He keeps just not telling her crucial things about everything that's going on.
And it can be, if you don't realize, if you don't like put it all together, like Klaus killed her aunt. Klaus did a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Tried to kill Bonnie.
Yeah,
you would also hate that guy and hate that your boyfriend is working with him and won't tell you why.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And Stefan says something about, like, I don't remember what he said that was shitty, but she was like, Stefan appears. Damon is like, it's too bad you don't trust Stefan because I called him.
Yeah.
I love Damon.
It was really funny. He was like, P.S. I called Stefan.
P.S. I called Stefan.
And so Stefan says something to her and she's like, don't make this about Damon. Mm-hmm. It's about you.
When she was the one who kind of made it about Damon.
Literally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Jeremy wakes up. What is their conversation at that point? I completely forget.
Damon says, long story by the ebook.
Yeah. Jeremy says, what happened? Because he died. And Damon said, long story by the ebook, which I am going to.
Kindles are kind of new.
Yeah. So that was a relevant reference. But I'm going to start saying that all the time.
Yeah.
Now,
so get ready.
Damon, it's like saying thebomb.com.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I'm going to bring that back, too.
I think you're the only
Let's
one equipped.
Let's do it. No, it's okay. I'm ready to join.
This episode plotline hops, but the next time we do see Damon, first he says that Bonnie has him volunteering at some cult exhibit at school.
Jeremy.
Oh, that's Jeremy. So Jeremy's volunteering.
Bonnie is volunteering.
Bonnie has roped Jeremy. Yeah. It says the quote is Bonnie has him volunteering for some occult exhibit. But
has
it's Jeremy.
Him volunteer. Okay.
So
and then
this is I'm also working this exhibit.
Right. Next because your professor is running it.
Professor Bonnie Atticus is running it. I'm
there
helping.
And Bonnie's making Jeremy.
Professor Atticus keeps insisting on bringing in these teenagers. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, interesting. Am I not enough for you?
The next time we see Damon, it's Stefan and Damon getting Bonnie up to speed on the Hunter's Curse. Mm-hmm. Between that, we have Caroline, Tyler, Klaus stuff.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. So the werewolves and hybrids have been up all night in the mayor's mansion drinking to the death of one of the hybrids last episode.
Dean. Except for Dean. Tyler. And we see it comes to Tyler waking up and being like, why are you guys still?
Honestly, Tyler's being very iconic. He said, oh, you guys are still going. Okay. I stopped. I went to bed and you guys should have.
Yeah.
You're all still drinking.
It was very funny. Yeah, it was very funny.
And we were talking about how the energy of these actors was entirely wrong.
They were all very together for the idea that they've been up all night.
With the exception of Klaus rolls in.
And then Klaus
with
swans into the room.
With exactly the right energy.
Yeah. The way he was dressed, Elle, you said Klaus dresses like he's managing a boy band.
Yeah, I stand by that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It, because all black, deep V leather necklaces.
Yeah.
That's you got a boy band.
Yeah, like, he looks like somewhere under there there's a conch shell. Like
100%. It's business sleaze necklace.
No, it's not conch shell. What's it called?
Puka shell?
Puka shell
necklace.
No, he's got a full conch.
He's got someone's voice in a conch shell.
He likes to listen to the ocean sometimes.
He's got a full conch in there.
Yeah.
It's so bulky.
With a mermaid voice in it.
Yeah, but okay, so
what's
her name?
To me.
Haley?
Haley, like, drinks a shot suggestively at Tyler and then, like, wipes his lips a little bit. And then Klaus
goes, you should be too. She pours it in his mouth and then wipes his lips.
Yes.
And he is, the eyes he's giving are so in
what the
he's confused.
No, he's.
Oh, I really so did not randy. See.
I took
it
as
you guys are crazy.
I think maybe you are.
You guys are crazy.
So here's what happened, right?
The eye contact he was making with her while her thumb was on his lip.
I took it as he was like, whoa.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I was
what
getting
are
surprised.
You guys talking about
Hannah, listen. So when she's doing
Morgan's
that,
used to being wrong about something horny, so Morgan's gonna
talk
listen. You through this.
Morgan. When she's doing that, right? He looks confused, like, whoa, what's happening? Klaus walks up behind him. And he didn't see Klaus. She saw Klaus. They're in a ruse right now. So she's in the ruse. He doesn't know Klaus is around because he was talking at Haley like they were not in the ruse.
Even though he was confused, you don't think he was in
it? He could have been in it. She was definitely in it. I wasn't catching that
vibe. I wasn't either.
I was overwhelmed by how much he was like...
Here, let me take off my glasses. By how much he was like...
No, yeah, you projected.
Yeah, you projected.
No.
You're lightly outvoted on this one.
I saw confusion.
You're actually not lightly outvoted. You're fully outvoted.
I am unappreciated in my time.
Listener, the podcast poll for this episode is going to be about this. So, yeah.
Was Tyler into having a finger in his mouth?
Yeah. So if you want to weigh in, so you can answer our poll. I'll try to remember to put it up.
So in this, like immediately after this moment that Hannah found horny, Caroline bursts in with a breakup box.
Yeah, she's like, I have your laptop and your bracelet.
And your, the jersey. Charm bracelet. Yeah. And your
my
jersey.
Axe.
Yeah, and then Tyler's like, it's not a good time.
An axe does show up later.
Yeah, yeah. And then
does.
Klaus, oh my
in
god.
In that doorway.
Klaus is like, I'll leave you guys to talking this out. Come on, every hybrid.
Yeah.
Come on, every pony.
So basically, because... gross. And because what Klaus sees is, okay... Caroline is breaking up with Tyler because Haley's on the scene. Hilarious. Let me let them get to it.
Yeah. It's my time. So that I can snap up Caroline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he's out the door, they're like, woo-hoo. Got him.
Got him. Because they're all in a ruse together to convince him that Tyler is leaving Caroline. Yes.
Somewhat of a ruse, honestly. Somewhat because ruse. They hadn't told Tyler, which is, I think, part of what really sold it. Mm. Yes. So they're like, haha, we were convincing. And Caroline and Haley have a really cute moment of like, yes.
Yeah. Girl. Okay. But then Tyler and Caroline kiss and Haley's just there looking at them in a way that's like, oh.
That's why I think, I mean, like Haley's definitely into him.
Yes. But God.
This is why I think nothing actually happened where like he's very much into the, like in the ruse, you know, like, oh, this is like a thing we're all agreed upon.
Yeah, this is
but
another...
she's got that secret fling for him.
Yeah, she's into him. This is another time where if this show had been written in a different time or if the writers weren't cowards, there would have been a ruffle.
No, we did. We were all like, just Thrupp. Just Thrupp.
It's weirder Thrupp it to up. Watch, it, honestly.
Yeah. I don't know if Caroline... is the thruple type though. She's very jealous and monogamous.
I think that Caroline would love having two boyfriends.
I think Caroline would rather be included than not.
That's true.
Yeah, I do think Caroline is the type where it's like once she gets past some stuff, she's so good at it.
She can roll with
like,
the punches.
I don't think before she was a vampire, but I think vamp care for sure.
Yeah. She would definitely want to set boundaries. She would have a laundry list of rules.
But you know what I think Caroline
As
would
she's
love?
Right too. Yeah.
I think that Caroline would love being able to descend a staircase with one person on each arm.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Caroline would be the kind of trouble situation where she would be like, oh, he got a kissy. I want a kissy.
Yeah.
Like, same number of kissies for everybody.
Yeah.
Same number of kissies. One for you, one for me. One for you, one for me.
Now kiss each other.
Shane does that with me and Ponyo.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Kisses Ponyo on the head and then has to kiss me on the cheek.
Yeah, aww. I was going to say it's very Wednesday, Ponyo.
Yeah.
So Elena continues to have these hallucinations. Like she's in the shower and suddenly there's a lot of blood.
Yeah.
Klaus shows up. So after he kind of like, he leaves Tyler's mansion going like, you got big problems, mate. And like waltzes out like very
this is
proud
so
of
good
himself.
Yeah,
and then he goes to Elena's house.
Well, so he calls them on the phone and like they're talking, he's like, I need to take Elena, like she's in trouble from this hallucination stuff, and they're like, we're fine, we got it. And he's
we
like
got it. Please don't
he's like, where
Elena.
Are you right now? And they're like, we're at Elena's house. And he's like, so am I. And the camera zooms out of him on the phone to him on the phone on their porch.
Knocking on the door.
That was so funny. Because also the thought of him jumping from one house to another, causing drama and chaos, like the world's worst trick-or-treater, is so funny to me.
It's like, where are you? Elena's house? So am I.
The world's worst trick-or-treater.
No, he is fully, like, not even just, like, obviously he's much older than your standard adult man, but he is a full
standard
just human adult man, right? So, but he is a full adult man, monkey branching from high schooler.
Sorry, I was like, he's like 30.
You remember the age? He's like, and it's suddenly the saddest, grossest thing ever.
As Damon pointed out in this episode, Klaus is like a billion years old.
Yeah, you're right. Oh my god! Right. At one point, Klaus just knows about the Hunter's Curse, and they're like, "Why does he know that?" And Damon's like, "He's a billion years old."
Well, why does Klaus know anything? He's a billion years old.
I love hyperbole.
Yeah.
So they, Stefan goes outside, and Klaus is like, oh, you're not going to invite me in?
No, of course not.
Being literally very coquettish about it. And Stefan is like, it's bad enough that I'm even talking to you. Which indicates to me that Stefan has some self-awareness about how he should be behaving about this. And is still being deeply paternalistic.
And this is where Klaus goes, have the hallucinations started?
Yeah.
So I was like, what?
And he's like, how'd you know?
He also, Stefan is like, well, if we had done blah, 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 like, it would be better. And he just goes, Klaus goes, life is full of ifs, Stefan. Which really delighted me.
Yeah.
If ifs and buts were candy and nuts.
So Klaus basically says, I know about the hallucinations. You got to lock her up. I've come here to lock her up. And Stefan's like, no, we got this handled.
Wow, as this whole episode, they're all going, lock her up,
I guess. with no windows.
Yeah.
As soon as Elena steps out, Klaus just grabs her away.
He just grabs her and carries her away. They're like, whoa.
And Damon, it's so funny. Damon walks out, they don't have super strength.
They could have just chased him.
Damon walks out of the house just a second later, so exasperated, going, God
damn it. Cause like Elena's like, Elena's having a vision. She's stumbling out of the house and he's like, Elena, and Klaus looks so, he does such a sneaky smile and then zoops her away.
And then, and then Damon just looks so tired.
It's like, they all know where he lives.
Yeah. And then he already has a room.
This is crazy.
He already has a room where, and isn't it something like an art preservation room or something?
Yeah,
something
so like there's that. No sunlight. It's so like there's no windows.
Yeah. And it has a big bed in it.
And a bunch of marble sculptures. Uh-huh. And like
and some like horny murals. Yeah. And, like,
I think he took out some of the paintings because from that wood? Room. Yeah, because of wood. But there were some like empty...
It did seem like there was wood in that room.
There was some empty
frames.
There
were like furniture legs.
Like,
I think he was more concerned about preserving the painting so she didn't ruin them.
It was, it was really interesting because like, so he, from Klaus's POV, he's like, she's going to try to kill herself. That's what this curse does. Like she, like she's going to want to die. So we need to keep her away from pointy stakes. And then he takes her to a room with wood in it.
Wooden frames. Maybe it was like, imitation wood, maybe it was laminate.
Oh my god, it was particle board.
Yeah, literally
plastic.
But you point out also that he leaves her in this room with like no books,
right? So all she has is time to be haunted by visions.
Yeah. She has a really nice bed, though.
I do think Klaus needs a Switch. Like, because
a Nintendo Switch?
Yes. Because
I also thought, sorry, Switch.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Or a Netflix account.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah. I think Klaus needs a Nintendo Switch because he, I mean, just like how all of these grown men don't have jobs and thus
need to be entertained.
Need to be entertained. They keep like getting into big drama with these teenagers.
Kind of like how Damon plays Xbox with Jeremy.
Yeah.
You need an Xbox, you need a best
Klaus
friend.
Does give me iPad kid. For sure.
Oh my god. Medieval iPad kid. Yeah. Oh my so god. Funny.
Klaus would love Fortnite. I actually, I said this during the episode. I legitimately think Klaus would love The Sims and buy all of the expansion packs because that's just controlling people.
The way he would be drowning people in a pool bag.
The pool would be full of bodies.
Yeah. He would just be making, he would make a Caroline Sim and a Klaus Sim and make them date and then like put the Tyler Sim in a basement and then remove the stairs. Like he would love The Sims.
Yes. We've all done that.
Rosebud, Rosebud, Rosebud.
Yeah. Motherload. Like it would fix him or at least get him off of everyone else's plate.
No, you're right. It would fix him.
And in this room though we get a hallucination of our girl.
Miss her
Catherine, and she says, did you miss me? And
we all go yes. But basically Catherine hallucination is basically like, hi, I am the bad version you will turn into.
And once Stefan got to know the real me, he hated
me. Everyone's gonna hate you, you're gonna be a monster. Just before Klaus leaves Elena alone in this room, he's like, I know exactly how the curse works because it happened to me. Yeah. Like when he killed
when he killed
that guy Rebecca was in love with, who was a vampire hunter, he said that he was cursed with like these constant visions telling him to kill himself, but it didn't work. Like he's immortal in a way where he can't even kill himself. Right. So he would presumably tried and failed who knows how many times. And he said that this lasted for like 50 something years, which dark, grim. And then she said, how did you get it to stop? He said, I didn't. We all thought, oh my God, this whole time Klaus has been seeing visions, which I would have loved.
Yes.
But what he said actually was they just kind of went away on their own after 50 something years.
I think it's so funny because he was like, I know exactly how it works.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't.
And he was like, he doesn't. Yeah.
But no, the thing, just, he also just let said it go something. On its own. He said some piece of lore that like really hit for me where he was like, that those 52 years were the only period in my life where I experienced time.
Yeah. That hit as a line.
That was really cool. Because like we know so little about what his
experience.
Right. Like he POV. Is so different from everyone else. And the show doesn't really explore that a ton.
Like say he's old, but like what does that
they say
does
he's that old mean? And then they don't really like underline it.
And to try to imagine like 50 something years of just torture.
Mm-hmm.
You're and gonna he was come like, out a little weird.
Yeah. And he's immortal, so he can't die. So what we would later find out is the mechanics of this curse is that once the dead hunter's legacy is passed on to another potential by that potential killing a vampire is when the curse ends.
Yes.
And they are able to solve that within 24 hours.
Right. Yeah. Elena only has to feel bad for a little bit.
And I was like, this is one of the few episodes where we in the room were like, it's Jeremy. And then on screen, they were like, it's Jeremy.
Yeah. We all click at the same time.
I don't remember who Damon was talking to when they were like, maybe it was Bonnie, where,
It was the next scene where they go to the exhibit, quote unquote, which is just this guy giving like a weird lecture.
Which I do want to talk about
at a high school. Yeah. This is a college professor.
Yeah. And Damon is like, you need to get Bonnie, you need to get him into another room.
Bonnie basically, I do want to double back and like talk about this exhibit more, but just to like close this loop.
Yeah.
Damon gets Bonnie's help to get Professor Atticus's insight into how hunters work. They're like, he relays the thing about the next potential getting like unlocked and how that ends the curse. Bonnie's like, how do we find out who the next potential is? And Damon's like, okay, I got this.
I already
opens his cell phone and what does he say? He said, Little Gilbert.
I just called Little Gilbert.
Little Gilbert, your services are required. And we all said, ew.
While Damon is like waiting for Professor Shane and Bonnie to get there, he's in a Lark's classroom. He kicks up his feet. He finds a bottle of booze in his desk that's still there, I guess. That's
sweet.
Yeah, and he says, you're missing out on all the adventure.
Lark was so broken for drinking from the bottle at work, but
at school.
And Damon was like, ledge.
Buddy. Classic legend. Rick.
I love the
classic Rick. We do not address the fact that he had a problem.
Yeah, Damon's just like, that was my boy.
That was my man. To party. I love these little like winks and nods to like Damon still missing his friends.
Yeah. I do too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they call Jeremy. Man.
Let's just talk about the seminar really quickly.
Yeah, let's do it.
So the girl.
There's some exposition here.
The girl that is Jeremy's old friend with the dad. She makes a like briefest appearance where she's like, oh, I know this guy because my dad did a theology seminar at the same school.
Yeah, because she's like, why is this guy so familiar?
And he knew my dad.
He knew.
Yeah.
And so they draw that connection, and then he's giving this like speech about Silas.
Yeah, he says, there's like a lump of rock. He's like, this is the world's oldest tombstone, in which case they would never let you just take it to a high school outside
insane.
Of a raw, like not even in a case.
No, their
holding it. They're
touching
hands.
It with their oily, greasy, ungloved fingies.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. The archaeologist and art historian in me. I'm not either of those things, but you know.
I mean, it's a high school.
Yeah.
You children's are. Hands
to
are
me,
so
you are.
They're gonna get their chalky milk all over.
Yeah.
Ew.
Chalky milk.
So messy.
It is, yeah. So basically the premise here is that he's at the high school because he's doing an occult exhibit, something they do at high schools. And he has this like set up in, I don't know, the cafeteria or something. He's got projections.
It's giving like career day.
Yeah. But just this one guy and the one career guy, is career. The occult.
I need to recruit these teens.
Yeah.
Yeah. They really, nobody works here. So they just like, if an adult is like, oh, I'll teach them something. They're like, thank God. Come on.
They're
in.
Like, we're out of substitute teachers. Damon ate them all.
I'm ready for him to step in as the history professor.
Oh. That's actually fun.
Interesting.
Okay, but so tell the tale.
Yeah, tell the
so,
tale.
So I'm not going to remember all the details, but basically he's like, there was like one of the most powerful witchmen of all time, Silas, discovers something, immortality. And then this other woman,
Ketsia.
Quiznos, is like, I want it. And then there's someone else involved and she
he
kills.
Wants to give immortality to another woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she kills that woman.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, and this is the origin of a woman scorned.
Yeah, yeah. And hell, she kills the woman and buries Silas alive.
Right. Yeah. Buries Silas. Right. And then in the room, we're all like, he's Silas.
He's Silas.
He's Silas.
Yeah.
He is Silas.
That's because Silas. Presumably Silas is immortal if he's giving immortality to someone else.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So
he's buried alive and
just like
stays that way.
From a like story construction thing, one person who is new to the show is telling everyone about a really powerful immortal guy who could come back any second. Mm-hmm. Anyway, keep moving on with your plot.
Exactly. It's giving me Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost.
Yes. Thank you. I was thinking about that because it's what's his name? Ben.
Yes.
Ben
Ravenswood.
Ravenscroft. Ben Ravenscroft. It's the witch's ghost. Yes. What a good movie. Yes. Anyway, he's giving that where he's like, I'm a warlock.
I'm obviously a warlock. Or maybe gonna raise Silas. Like maybe that's his goal. But
he's
I think
like
he's
an ancestor.
I think he's Silas.
I think he's Silas. I think so. Because also, he's always smirking.
He's always smirking. He's clearly got stuff going on. Also, at some point, Bonnie is like, oh, Ketsia sounds like super powerful and cool. And he goes, Silas was pretty cool too.
Like where she was like, Ketsia sounds pretty powerful, and he was like, not as much as Silas.
Yeah, Silas fucking ruled.
Yeah, no, it's him. Yeah. It is him. We're not dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're gonna be so embarrassed if it's not him, but it's him.
But it's right, exactly. It'll be really embarrassing if it's not. However,
it won't be embarrassing. If he's not, we'll never speak of it again. But if he is, we'll bring it up constantly.
No one tweet at us if we're wrong, but we won't be.
And so then we are just to cut back to the classroom where they're all like talking about this. Damon
God,
is,
I love him.
Damon's he and Damon are doing this little pissing contest.
His
Damon's
name
like,
is
I'm
Professor Atticus Shane. That's not a real name. It's a name a guy picked.
Yeah. I know you're horny for it.
I mean, Jordan Connor also had a last name that was a first name. So
that's not the whole, like, his first name wasn't Atticus.
Yeah, his name wasn't like Mephistopheles Connor.
Exactly.
Hello? It maybe should have been. That might have ruled.
Hello, my name is Methuselah Blaze.
Yeah, I'm a Raskolnikov gun arms.
Okay. Tell me everything about this character you just invented. I will die for it.
Yeah, so this is my Vampire Diaries OC.
Oh my God. Say the name again.
What? Raskolnikov gun arms? So his arms are both guns, and one of the guns only kills vampires, and one of the guns only kills humans.
Oh my God. Okay, sorry. Either we're stopping this podcast and starting a new podcast.
And now we do a vampire D&D podcast.
So are you saying one arm has a wooden stake and the other arm is just a gun?
One arm shoots wooden bullets.
Yeah.
And then regular bullets. And then
they're both gun arms for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Raskolnikov told me.
All right. That's why his name is gun arms plural.
Yeah. He's got, and it works on two levels because guns are arms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Welcome to the gun show.
That's what he says before he kills humans and or vampires.
Yeah.
The right to bear arms is just to have Gunnar.
That was an amendment written for Resh Kolnikov Gun Arms.
He only wears flannel shirts he's ripped the sleeves off of.
Hell yeah.
His brother's name is Kalashnikov Normal Hands.
So Damon is trying to do this like very like sexy, like I'm very like slick with this professor thing, I think. That's the vibe I was getting.
Oh, he does have a thing where he's not fully telling him who he is.
So he's like, oh, I'm also an expert. A
professor.
And the professor like asks him a question and Damon says, I'm an expert on the origin of the species. And the professor is like, I think Darwin would beg to differ. Like they're both trying to do this like sexy pissing contest.
Yeah.
And
Damon says, not that species.
And the guy is like, oh, you're like into monster. Oh, you're a
monster
stuff.
Dude.
Which it was centimeters away from saying, oh, you're a monster fucker. Like the vibe was very like
Professor Atticus was giving, oh, I'm open minded.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know what else
this
to
is
say.
Honestly, it's I'm so glad that this show has given me him
representation,
because not because representation, but because what's his face, they killed him so fast. Skeeter or whatever.
I miss
what
him.
Was his name?
He was another Scooter. Scooter. He was also kind of like a nerdy like monster fucker,
right?
Yeah. And like that's, but like in like a cute boy way.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
it's and like that's and they like so Julie fast. Plec doing fan fiction, I think,
for me.
Yeah, that was targeted. Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Because listen, normally like the people at this, the men on CW shows are really not usually targeted towards the crowd at this table.
Right, because they're supposed to be, because none of us are teenagers anymore and they're all designed for teenagers.
Yeah.
They're all like, I'm a quarterback, but I'm sensitive. Like, yeah. I'm the hottest guy you've ever seen in school as a straight girl, but I think about your feelings.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, we're not
straight, so we all kind of like the slightly weird stuff.
And if I'm going to talk to a man, I don't want him to engage with my feelings. That's none of his business.
Yeah, I would rather I would rather a man just be sort of like a weird freak that I look at. Like,
if you want to bro down, I'll bro down with you, but don't pretend like to understand.
Even when I was younger, right? Like, in season one, I feel like the camera.
The reticence with which you just said it.
Yeah. I feel like in, for example, in season one, I feel like the camera was saying the person you should find hot here is Anna. But younger me was like, I like Pearl. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's.
I think older. Anna was meant to be something like a self insert to step into.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed like.
I don't think you're supposed to find Anna hot. I think you're supposed to find Jeremy.
Like I think the audience no for this does. Is predominantly. But I thought Pearl straight. Was hot.
Of
teenage
course,
girls.
Of course, yeah, Pearl was absolutely. Incredible.
But I think it's like when the women on the show are hot, just because like it's the CW and they only cast hot people. I think the men are supposed to be like. You're attracted to them.
Yeah. You're supposed to be able to collect the men like trading cards.
Yes.
And swap with your friends and be like, this one's my favorite.
Exactly.
Like boy bands.
Yeah. Like there's a little bit of a everyone has flavor archetype. Variation.
Yeah.
Exactly. Everyone has an archetype like a boy band. Yeah. Like someone's a sporty one. Someone's the.
Yeah. Okay. So Stefan's is
vanilla.
Stefan is the. Yeah. Until he's
a ripper.
Damon's the bad boy. Yeah. Sensitive. Stefan is like the sensitive.
Yeah.
Matt's the jock.
Yeah.
Jeremy's like the alt boy.
Tyler used to be kind of like
the bully. He used
bully,
to be
the bully. Yeah. The bully. And
but
now
he's
like the I can
well,
fix him.
He's a werewolf now. So he's kind of like the wild but sensitive one.
Right.
Yeah. He's honestly, Tyler is the one who feels most mature right now.
Yeah.
He's the one who's like,
him
I feel like
Matt.
He's doing, well, yeah, like yes to Matt, but Matt is still, like we're still seeing Matt in the context of high school. We're mostly seeing Tyler in the context of like
bigger
navigating
shit
big shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Like he had to leave town and go and deal with some stuff like in the real world.
Yeah. Like he had to skip out on school.
Yeah.
Deal with some stuff.
Deal with
we
some,
will
hey.
Get to that stuff because we
it
did
is
not
relevant.
Like what happened. It was pretty heinous.
Yeah.
It was
Yeah.
I have so much to say.
So then
we'll get there.
The next I feel like this we're going through chronologically, but I feel like that makes sense in this episode because it's sort of Klaus just like flitting about causing problems. So Caroline and Klaus have a conversation And yes. Klaus is like, I know Tyler isn't sired to me anymore because if he was, he would never have hurt you.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so funny.
Manipulator.
Because he's the so next crazy. Thing he says to her is, you're beautiful, but if you don't stop talking, I'll kill you. Yeah. So I would never have let him. If someone's going to kill a hot lady, it's going to be me.
He gets so mad.
Yeah.
He gets so mad.
And so then.
Oh, this is where.
I do think we need to explain why Caroline was there and what her mission was with that. Because it does become relevant later. Yeah.
So Stefan calls Damon because Stefan had let Elena go.
Yeah.
They went. They went to Klaus's house. They convinced the hybrid named Chris to basically abandon his post so that he can get Elena out, saying that Tyler and Haley are going to like protect him. They're going to help him break the sire bond. So just go to them. We'll handle Elena. As soon as he opens the door, Elena stabs him and leaves. Mm-hmm. Calls Damon. Because
what she sees is
yeah, hallucination.
She's not in her right mind.
Yeah, Klaus is literally like, she's hallucinating. She can't perceive reality. Mm-hmm. She's going to be erratic and a danger to herself and like, others. And Stefan was like I do. But I love her.
Yeah.
So Caroline, so annoying. At the bar with Klaus was like, don't get mad. Yeah. But Elena's escaped. Klaus is like, what the fuck? Yeah. Don't make me kill you. Right. And she's like, but we found a way.
We know how to stop the hallucination.
Yeah. And then he's like, okay, you have 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me or I'll kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's clearly very happy to hear that there's a cure for this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that it would potentially lead to a new hunter.
Yeah. Well, also, I think Klaus POV, right? He didn't articulate this, but if Elena was made human again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's that would doppelganger be great for him. Blood.
Yes. And I also took it as like, if I ever kill another hunter, I don't have to go through 50 years of hell again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'll just know how to fix it.
Right. Exactly.
That's useful info to have.
And then we cut to Elena, where Elena has speedrunned, is to the bridge where she's already almost died twice.
Yeah. And so she starts hallucinating Damon Jordan. Does say
third time's the charm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's so when funny. She's it's like, so how did funny. You find me? And he's like,
duh.
Clearly,
obviously, this is
here.
Where you would go. Third time's a charm.
Yeah. Yeah. So she is seeing hallucinations.
Which is another example, though, of Damon like understanding her a little better than Stefan does.
Yeah. That's really true.
Not in like in a problematic way.
No,
I know.
It's but it's just like, so fun. Like it's
he
just,
sees the darkness in her. Mm-hmm. And I'm just it calls imagining to the darkness in him.
Season one, Bridget.
Yes.
Like being forced to admit that.
Yeah.
You know?
But it kind of.
We all take a journey.
Listen, it kind of has to happen for the boyfriend swap agenda to happen. So I understand why you're like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she also starts seeing her mom.
My boyfriend swap agenda.
Listen, it has to, you know, if it's going to happen, the very least they can do is make it make sense.
Yes.
Yeah, truly.
Is make Bridget's prediction correct. The very least they can do for her.
Yeah. If you're going to make me watch all this heterosexual bullshit, truly. At least I could be prescient about it.
Yeah, give you the satisfaction of knowing what the deal is.
But before Damon gets there, she's on the bridge and there's like a little hallucination of her mom telling her to kill herself.
Yeah, her mom is like, you died. You were supposed to stay dead. Let's close this loop.
You were everything I wanted to be and then you died.
Yeah, very like, I'm proud of you, but it's time. Yeah. Like, her brain realizes.
It's a pretty sweet moment.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
Like it's bad because we know that this is a curse trying to convince her to die.
Yeah.
But it is like kind of a sweet moment she gets.
It is kind of the only time we see their relationship being like tender, I feel like.
Yeah.
We did see a little bit of that in that big flashback episode.
But in that they were like fighting, you know, they were like having normal teen.
Yeah. It was clear that her mom like loved her. They were fighting in a very like, I care about
you. Totally. It was, but we didn't see them really have like a tenderness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was a tenderness when she called her mom from the bonfire and she was not sure about Matt, right?
Yeah, I do think there was tenderness.
Like,
Her mom was like, you already know the answer, honey. You got to let him go.
But I take your point is like, that was about someone else and this was just about the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
They were in that episode when we saw her mom, they were doing a lot of cutting and back and forth between like plot scenes, right? Yeah. And this was a moment where they just like, we got to just like pay attention to them.
And we got to see how Elena perceived their relationship because it's Elena's brain making it up.
Yeah, and it is like, it is nice because the other people in her brain were like, it's your fault, your parents are dead. And I think her mom was like not blaming her.
Right.
Yeah. So it's good that she knows deep down that her mom wouldn't have blamed her for this.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. But then she takes off the daylight ring and throws it into the woods. And then she immediately is like, yeah.
The river.
And she's immediately like, wait, fuck, why'd I do that?
Yeah. Well, and actually what she says is she's like, I can't leave Jeremy.
Yes. She's like, what am I doing? I can't leave Jeremy. And then her mom, hallucination, I think makes a pretty good point, where she's like, you won't be leaving him, you'll be a ghost for him, and then you won't be able to, guide to him. Hurt him. And then I'm like, damn, mom's making points.
Well, Elena's brain's mom make points.
Right, exactly. Yeah, right. And then which gets Elena back on track and ready, and then Damon shows up.
And he's like, this is because of course where you'd be.
Stefan called Damon to go instead of Stefan going.
And then we like cut to black.
So
he grabs her and they start to dive in.
So they do some talking first. Damon's like, oh, where's your ring, buddy?
Yeah.
And then it takes him a long time to notice she's not wearing the daylight.
He does say something that I was like, okay, wow, rare emotional intelligence moment from Damon, where he's like, hey, let's just go somewhere else and talk things through before you make a decision that you'd regret.
Right.
Which I was like, okay, that is one of the better ways I've seen anyone talk to anyone on this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. and Stefan basically tells Damon to go there because lately she's been listening to him more than she's listening to Stefan, right? Like bigger chance she'll listen to you.
Which
than
is
me,
even so. Still so fucking paternalistic.
Literally.
To be like, maybe you can get through to her. That is how frustrated with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all about like what is the best way to get her to do the things that we know is best.
It's crazy because like obviously
Klaus kill herself though. Like that's a big one.
That's a big one, but it's also
I'd be paternalistic to a person trying to if the stakes are large.
I feel like that is not how I would approach it, though. Like, I would really be trying to understand where they were coming from. Because you can help someone so much more if you're coming at it from a place of, like, compassion and curiosity versus me telling you I don't think you should die.
But say, like, if Elle was really mad at me but, like, was having a really good, like, relationship with Shane at the time, I'd be like, Shane... maybe Elle doesn't want to see my face right now.
Aww,
so Shane,
that makes sense. Yeah, because you're like, listen,
sure,
Elle's in a place where they're not going to listen to me; they're going to listen to you.
I don't think that's what he said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was not said. Good.
Let me put it this way: I think there's nothing wrong with saying like this is the person she trusts the most right now and feels the most comfortable around. That makes the most sense. But I think it should just be like she needs to be around someone she trusts versus. Here is who will be able to
manipulate her the goodest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the slightest difference in thought.
You know what? I wish it was Bonnie or Caroline.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Like Bonnie, especially from season one, Bonnie and Elena were kind of framed as having like a much stronger friendship.
Yeah. I really miss just like the scenes of them being
that feather scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we get them sometimes, but I want them more.
I feel like Bonnie would have been a really good placeholder there to bring her
because
back
to
the
edge. Because I think it's truly insane to be like, who do you trust most in the world? It's a guy you met last year.
Yeah, and not your childhood best friend.
It's another guy. It's like
who
one of the two.
Shows you floating feathers?
Okay, your options are two guys you met last year.
Wild.
Yeah.
They've been through a lot in a year.
Mm-hmm. Damon shows up, tackles her into the river as the sun rises.
And that's when we sort of cut to...
Yeah.
Something that I want to point out. Okay. Like, Klaus is obviously very controlling, right? We know this.
No.
Like, they're really... like, the sire thing and him needing to make hybrids and them needing to submit to him and, like, him getting to thrall other vampires. He's super, super controlling. Stefan's also very fucking controlling. Mm. It's just manifest in a different way. He's a really controlling dude. And like, because he cannot divorce his wants from the moral correctness, he doesn't see it.
Yeah.
It's why
because
it was
he's
so
like,
easy
what
for
I
him.
Want is right.
Yeah.
He doesn't ever have to consider if his actions are being controlling. And I think a great illustration of that is that he knows these hallucinations are bad. He knows Elena's in a really dangerous place right now. She stabbed Jeremy in the neck.
Yeah.
And Klaus is like, we have to leave her in there. And I know Klaus isn't like a trustworthy guy,
but he's right in this instance.
He's right in this instance. And then also what Stefan has seen has like corroborated that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's like, I can talk to her. He goes in I'm and different. She immediately escapes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. Yeah. Like he thinks he's different.
Yeah.
In a way that I think is also extremely controlling.
I think it's yeah. the reason it was so easy for him to be ripperized.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's like, if I think it, it must be objectively correct.
Yes. Well, I mean, and like, let's think about like what his MO was, mm-hmm. right? Like his MO was just ripping women apart and assembling them back together.
Damn.
Because of the guilt, yeah.
Because of the guilt and because he's fucking controlling.
He can fix yeah. them. He's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, he can look at a situation that he has fucked up beyond all recognition and still not be able to admit to himself
that maybe he doesn't know.
The best thing for me to do is just step away.
Yep.
Yeah. I need to double down on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have that scene later in the episode towards the end where he does step away.
He finally. Does, which yeah. growth? Mm-hmm. Growth?
But it's because I think that he steps away because he's like, my...
I don't like this anymore. Like,
yeah. like I think he's able to let go because he's like, okay, I don't have the same amount of pull here right now. Like there is absolutely... I think that there is a world in which Stefan is like, let me meet Elena where she's at rather than being like, this like we're in
it's
different
all or
life
nothing
stages.
Right, yeah.
right like this isn't the same Elena right like I think there's a world in which he changes with her
right
wow. but he cannot
right. he like what you said she's not the same Elena he kind of does a self-fulfilling prophecy there mm. or like he fulfills basically Elena's deepest fears mm-hmm. where she, like part of her hallucination is Catherine telling her that her becoming more like Catherine
mm-hmm. will make him not love her anymore.
Yeah. And now mm-hmm. he's like, he's in this, right, yeah. the middle of her and trying to figure out who she is as a vampire, not
and
a human.
He's not going to stick with her through
and
it.
And she yeah. interprets it. And I think in part, we're meant to interpret it as a fault with her when actually I think it's a fault of his.
Yeah. Cause I think we're meant to interpret it as a magnetism to Damon.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like she is and has been attracted to Damon and that's been growing and they've been closer. But I think part of it too is Stefan, like, I don't know how else to say this, but like he needs to feel like the good guy all the time mm. and can't admit to himself when he's being selfish. Mm-hmm. Like he can't just be like, oh, it makes me really sad that we're not close. Mm-hmm. And instead of working through it, I'm just going to like give up entirely. Like mm-hmm. he can't admit that. So he has to be
which
like,
is
oh, I'm being the bigger person by just letting her do what she wants.
Still a removal of agency.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's still kind of one of those things where like, this is so stupid, but like I just watched the episode of Abbott Elementary where the like nerdy teacher was like trying to get his boyfriend to break up with him by just like being subtly annoying because he didn't want to have to. This was like a recent one.
Oh, okay.
In the new
so
season.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, in yeah. the sorry spoilers in no, the new okay. season, there's this thing where it's like, oh, I don't want to have the hard conversation where I'm breaking up with you, so I'm just gonna act in such a way that will push you away from mm-hmm. me. And I feel like
I
that's
hate, I
and
hate
then
that
be
trope.
Like, oh well, if you must, if you really must, I guess that yeah, I guess I'll let you break up with mm-hmm. me or like I'll let this happen. I see that it's what you want. Yeah. When it's like, just admit that you also mm-hmm. want this.
Yeah.
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 Even if it makes you sad, you also don't want to be with her right now.
This is yeah. the second time also that Stefan has given up on yeah, Elena yeah. because mm. the first time was, I mean, there were some things with like Klaus trying to
yeah.
Compel him that he was struggling against, yeah. right? But even when he wasn't compelled, his guilt was overriding him so much that he wouldn't go back to Elena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like he just couldn't live with himself. That like he had hurt her, so like he was inserting himself into her life again, yeah. but not totally into the relationship because he was more self-obsessed about his guilt.
Yeah. Can I just like say something?
Yeah, all the time. This is a podcast.
That's a good point. That's the whole medium. Edward Cullen would never.
Mm-mm. Shut the fuck up.
No, he would
okay,
never.
What about New Moon?
No, but well. No, but like
but
Edward
remember
Cullen
L.
did.
But remember what
there's
he
a whole
did?
Book about it.
But like once she turned into a vampire, if she started eating people, I feel like he would be really like. I feel like he would stick with her for that. I feel like he. I
yeah, because I guess he was like, I'm doing this for you.
There was still listen. Obviously, Stefan is based off of Edward, so there's that self sacrifice. Like I have to do this for you. But I think that it'd be like. Because the whole thing with the Cullens are like, they're sort of like a alcohol, they're like vampire AA. They're like, we're all not going to be people together.
And the reason that he was like, I'm leaving you for you was because she was still a person.
She was still a person. He was like, if I date a human, then it's like, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Or be a vampire, which is different than like, oh, you're a vampire. I am responsible for you in this really like deep way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Sorry, Nat's listening to Midnight Sun on audiobook right now. Yeah. So I've been getting like
just hear it in the house.
Yeah, like... I've been getting little snippets.
Okay, can someone, the only note I wrote is they killed a good guy, ?
This was crazy. This was crazy.
Yeah.
I have so much to say about this. It's fucking crazy.
Hit me. Yeah.
Okay, so here's what we learned. Here's what sets this up is that, so one, we know that Jeremy needs to kill a vampire for the potential to turn into Hunter and thus lifting the curse from Elena and taking her out of this suicidal place, right?
So a vampire needs to die to save Elena.
Jeremy needs to kill a vampire.
Yeah.
Boy, do we know so many vampires.
Boy, do we know so many vampires and where to get them. Meanwhile, Haley and Tyler have organized things so that Chris...
the hybrid,
previously unnamed hybrid.
Yeah,
Haley has gotten him unsired from Klaus, but he is still working with Klaus. Secrecies.
Yeah,
and so because Stefan was able to get at Elena, Klaus knows. Okay, Chris, you didn't do what I said. Mm-hmm. I'm your sire. What the fuck? They sort of like Tyler and Haley, sort of like being like, no, kill me. No, kill me.
Actually, right? I love how, so even though Tyler kind of stepped up there, Haley stepped up harder.
Yeah.
Like she was squared like, it was him me. Up in his face.
Yeah.
It was really good. I loved Haley in that
moment. She said specifically, I'd rather be dead than be one of your hybrid bitches.
I loved that. I loved that so much.
It was be one of your sired bitches.
Yeah. One of the things, for whatever reason, Klaus, unknowable ocean, for whatever reason, Klaus decides, okay, walk away. Personally, I think he's like, I don't want to kill another hybrid. These are not a renewable resource.
Yeah. Well, Haley is just a wolf right now. So his idea was
for Chris
to get Elena's blood back up and running.
Right.
Regardless, manufacturing.
Yeah. I think for why he didn't kill Chris, I'm thinking. Like he's I'm not going to kill Chris. I'm going to let Chris walk out.
And shortly, I'll be able to
Right. Like, Klaus is always playing the long game. He's a billion years old.
I took it as Klaus, like, knowing that Jeremy was outside.
Yes. I think Klaus was in on it because of Caroline. And that's why Tyler was so mad at him.
Because Caroline had just told him. Because at the end, he says, how did you convince Klaus to kill a hybrid? And Caroline's like, I was on a date. That's right.
So, okay. That was my bad.
So he was so like...
Klaus is like, okay, Chris, you can leave. Chris goes to leave.
Here comes Jeremy with the fucking steel Stefan chair.
Stefan bops in, slams Chris to the floor, and Tyler and Haley are like, what the fuck? And then Jeremy takes an axe to Chris's neck.
Beheads him.
Dude.
Beheads him.
It was brazy.
All you need is like a pencil to stab him in the heart with.
Yeah, you didn't have to do that.
I know. Yeah. I think, wasn't there something where about killing
a hybrid?
Hybrids. That's a special battle. And regardless, they didn't need to kill someone who was active, and Tyler gets into this with Caroline.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where he's like, why the fuck did Jeremy kill this guy who we got, Haley got him unsired.
And Caroline,
to Tyler, Klaus was letting him go.
Yeah.
And then Jeremy beheads him.
Yeah.
Jeremy beheads him.
Yeah. Who, like, he's not a killer.
No. But he is, right? Because do you remember before he got Thrall to Forget why he was sent to Colorado? It was because he was good at killing vampires.
But he, like, Tyler says something along the lines of, like, you know, why would you do this? And Caroline is like, well, I didn't want to hurt one of our friends.
He was like, Chris was one of our friends. He was part of my pack.
Yeah.
And genuinely, it is crazy.
Yeah.
That they, I mean, Morgan, I think your suggestion was go to the prison, find a rapist, turn them into a vampire, and have Jeremy kill him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
right. Foolproof. Like, there are ways that you could do this more ethically.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Rather but than this guy who is, he's a super unique type of vampire. Mm-hmm. He's a werewolf. He's gotten mentally free of like they're always introducing loose vampires in this yeah. world. Like it's so,
just
so
second, like loose changed. But literally. It's like there's some vampires in Mystic Falls. I dropped them out of my pocket.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any loose vampires? I need to go to the laundromat.
Yeah.
But like you watch Tyler realize that Caroline doesn't
care
about Aline. His like
about his pack.
Yeah. About like anything that she doesn't care about, if that yeah. makes sense.
No, yeah. she yeah. wasn't. Yeah. She wasn't considering
yeah.
any outside of her own situation of Elena's in trouble.
Right, yeah. She's so got her squad.
Even if she takes the time to sit down and think about it, I think she finds like she does care. It's just that
she wasn't thinking about
she
it.
She wasn't thinking mm-hmm. about it, so she couldn't see outside of that.
Well, I
bubble.
Think she has a Things little bit quickly. Of mm-hmm. Stefan's vampire disease, where she's like, I can. Mm-hmm. There's only so much I can care about Caroline. At one time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and I've got to have some self-preservation.
Or if
like,
it's not directly affecting their right. group of friends.
Right.
She didn't realize that Tyler had a group of friends outside of their right. group of friends. And mm-hmm. that group of friends also meant something right. to him.
Mm-hmm. Which is perhaps the first time I've been truly disappointed in Caroline.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
Yeah, that sucked of her. And so now their fake relationship drama is real relationship
yeah.
drama.
Yeah. And yes. now he's
so yeah. Real so Tyler says, "How did you get Klaus to agree to this?"
Oh my God.
Is like, which is insane. I told him I'd go on a date with him. Like, what an insane thing to say.
And then she was like, that really supports like the thing we're doing with Haley, right? And Tyler's like, awesome, fuck you, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, Caroline, who said it? I don't remember which of you said it, but was like, oh, I convinced yeah. Klaus I was really betraying you by actually betraying
you.
Yeah, yeah.
For real. Yeah. Yeah. And then the final like scene, Elena wakes up. We start with like a zoom in on her sunlight ring. Mm. And Damon says a line that's a nearly direct quote from that Britney Spears song where she's like, I thought I threw this into the river. And I went down and got it for you.
Yeah. Oh, also this episode, he says, you know what they say about teen suicide?
Don't do it.
Which is that's that from Heather? I'm pretty sure that's from Heather. There's a song in that's Heather's called Teen Suicide. Don't do it.
Okay, yeah.
I really you caught that cherish reference before me. That you just were like, yeah, it's from Heather's, and what you meant was the musical.
I think it's from the movie.
It is from the movie. But okay. Like you just now being like, yeah, because there's a song.
I think is it not in the
no, there's a jingle in the Heather's.
Oh,
there's
is
like a
there?
PSA jingle.
Let's
in
watch
the
Heather's
movie called yeah, Teen truly. Suicide. Don't do it.
What if next episode isn't about Vampire Diaries? Is we all do Heather's?
Heather's, yeah. There's a few kind of like connected scenes, mm-hmm. like for the at the very end mm-hmm. after this, but yeah, Damon. So she starts holding Damon's hand because she's like, you saved my life.
Yeah,
and he goes, oh no, I'm about to take a very high and annoying road mm-hmm. and tell you the truth that Stefan is working with Klaus, but it's because of the
it's to
cure.
Help you.
It's to help yeah. you.
Which
and it's not just
Bridget
like,
pointed out, he's the one who's telling her the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not just like a high and mighty, I'm going to help you. It's a, no, this is a cure for your vampirism.
Yeah, with something right. you don't want.
Yeah, this is like, oh, you actually do want this.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Stefan and Elena finally break up.
Yeah.
They have yeah. a really good breakup.
I agree.
For them. Like, they have a breakup that I think reflects the best part of their relationship, which yeah. is when they're able to talk to each other yeah. straight
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Which is very rare this season.
Yeah, it was a breakup that
and
came from a place
breakups.
Of like, yeah, true. I genuinely care about you and this has to happen.
Yeah, yeah. I've changed.
Yeah.
I've
yeah.
changed.
Yeah, Elena says something like, I love you so much for trying to help me.
Yeah.
But
I'm a different person now.
And then Stefan is also like, is it... essentially, Stefan is like, are you in love with Damon? And she is like, I have feelings for him that have magnified since I was turned into
yep.
a vampire.
Yeah. Yep.
And he kind of lets that rock. He doesn't, I don't think he mm-hmm. like gives his blessing, but he doesn't seem mad about
yeah.
it.
He's not surprised.
He's
I think
surprised.
He's known.
Yeah.
He's been new.
You'd have to know.
I mean,
oh,
they've already.
He been new.
They've yeah. already made out at a motel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also he and Damon have had a lot of conversations about this, right?
Does
yeah.
Stefan know that she and Damon made out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes.
The fact that the person he's had the most conversations about it with is his brother really.
That is
like the
part
lines
of it.
Are jumbled.
It's part of the yeah. problem.
Yep.
And Stefan also just tells her straight to her face that like, he sent Damon because lately he's the one being able to get through to her. You know, it's like you listen to him. So he's like letting her know, like, you've been like this, you know? Yeah. And she goes into a little monologue.
Is it that Elena listens to Damon? Or is it that Damon listens to her?
Boom! 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 Because Stefan.
Porque lo nostos.
Stefan does not listen to her.
Because Elena
does not tell her things. Stefan does not listen to her.
Why not both?
I mean, it's both.
It's both. No, they are having more effective communication.
Yeah. And I'm mad.
Yeah, because it's Damon. Why is Damon having better communication with her than you? Stop it!
It's okay. We've been watching.
Stefan, you're the good one.
We've been watching Too Hot to Handle in my household.
Nice.
Yeah.
And we just watched season 2, which ends with a man that like in real life is actually like a monster.
Oh no.
He like had a girlfriend from a different reality show, went on this show, and when he got back, Marvin.
No, I don't know him.
Gets insane back together name. With her. Like he's French. Marvin from Paris.
Marvin.
So he wins and everyone is like, he did have the most growth. And I'm like, yeah, because he started lower down than everyone else.
That's the bar is so low.
The people that were like the finalists was one girl who I think had a tremendous change in perspective. Aww. And then two guys that were the biggest monsters beforehand. So their growth is the most like visible. And the girl is the first one to be eliminated as a finalist.
If that isn't like a distillation of society.
But that's what I'm... everyone is like, wow, Damon, ooh, growth. And I'm like, yeah, because he started in the fucking basement.
That's why it's so disappointing.
And now
disappointing.
He's just kind of looking over the basement stairs.
He's just peering out of the pit of hell.
And we're like, hey, buddy.
And we're like, wow, that was a big ladder you climbed up.
Hey, buddy.
And it's like, we all had the sense not to swan dive into hell in the first place.
Right.
Literally.
hey bud,
but it's working on me, which I resent.
Yeah, but I also it does work. It does work.
It works, asshole.
God, it worked on me in real life for so long.
Yeah,
yeah.
Same. Yeah. This is when Elena kind of talks about herself as that girl. She says that girl I've become is different somehow. Mm. And Elle and I looked at each other, going, "Is the bloodlust? Yeah. Is the bloodlust?"
A really cliche speech.
Yeah,
that started that started with like, "And that girl is different from this girl," and then by the end, she was like, "That girl's different. I'm different." Yes. Like it was just
and
the whole
that girl. Albert Einstein.
And that girl was Elizabeth Warren.
And that girl was John Lennon.
And I was there and I was clapping.
Opa Gangnam style.
Yeah, so I think that the episode ends on that breakup, you know? And then there's like a faraway shot of them on the porch of her family house.
So they're broken up. Elena's free to kiss Damon. Stefan's free to kiss Caroline. The boyfriend swap has never been closer.
And listeners, I cut to me looking you dead in the eye and putting on sunglasses.
And saying boyfriend swap so seriously. Yeah. Yeah. Boyfriend swap.
Yeah.
Okay, but I think that
it's Stefan been literally Caroline, years in the making.
I don't think Steriline's about to happen because Caroline's too busy with about to
Claroline.
Well,
Klaus.
Whoa. Oh. Stefan is like, I need a woman who is being tempted by a demon man.
Oh my God.
Stefan is like, I need to be the angel on a woman's shoulder.
And then also Klaus was trying to be his bro for so long.
I need a win.
He literally is just doing transference.
Oh my God.
I need a win over an asshole. Stefan, I need to prove my nice guy is actually good and nice.
Yeah.
He needs to go to therapy so bad.
And Caroline doesn't have bloodlust. He's like, I need a nice girl that I can be nice with, but she needs to be tempted
Which
by darkness
I
so that
I
feel like I'm
say,
winning.
The He's on the so noseness broken. Of so the blonde being the good version and the brunette being the bloodlusty is
that makes sense to me.
Exhausting for me.
Well, can I pass some blonde?
What?
Klaus is blonde.
That's true. But he's not a lady. Mm. So there's not the same
That's why they're
yeah,
like,
he's allowed to have nuance.
That's why he's like a stepbrother.
Go ahead.
Can I say something right now?
Yeah. No.
Something that I think everyone should consider is the ways in which it would work in some really interesting ways.
Yeah.
If Stefan and Matt started talking.
Oh.
Think about it.
Your brain is huge for that, actually.
I don't know if they have any chemistry.
No, I
think about this. They are both guys who are like, no, I'm good and the world is bad.
Yeah.
They have the same ex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Elena. Stefan loves it when somebody has his same ex.
Yep.
He Stefan loves that. Loves when he shares an ex yes. with someone.
Yeah.
They are
Rebecca
both.
Rebecca had a hots for both of them.
Yeah.
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 Oh my God. Yeah. A thrup there. Mm-hmm. That would work.
Mm-hmm. I think that Stefan and Matt.
Stefan and Matt could work because they're both they're both so self-serious that like they would immediately be homeowners.
Okay, so like here's my fan fiction. Here's my fan fiction is Stefan and Matt through like plot contrivances have to fix up an old car together and then like their hands brush when they both reach for a wrench. And then like one of them is like, oh no, my tank top got covered with oil. I gotta take it off.
You've got some grease on your face. And then wipes it off with his thumb and then Tyler makes that face.
Oh, it ends with them adopting a baby.
Duh. Yeah. They would be such great boring gay dads.
They would be so boring.
They would mow their front lawn like every week.
Yeah.
Not miss a week.
Together holding hands.
Yeah.
No, one of them's got the like edger and is doing it by the mailbox.
No, you're right. No, they would never be so unproductive as to both do the same
thing. God, their little Montessori kindergartner.
Oh my God. See, I'm telling you, it would work.
It would work.
The thing is it would solve so many problems.
But Julie Plex a coward.
Yeah. The show was made by cowards.
Yeah, wow.
The stat one will never happen. Someday.
Stat.
Maffin.
Maffin.
Stat
is so funny.
I want to see if anyone's had this idea already.
Go to fanfiction.
So there, before we go to King Fame King Shame, there is something we did miss that is tied into like the Atticus Shane mystery.
So we're worrying now about things we miss in this podcast.
Well, just because it's for the
just plot. Morgan is telling us it'll come up later. Yeah. Is why.
Yeah. Well, Matt and Damon are talking at the bar, and they talk about how April's dad called Shane 10 times the day he died.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
I would too.
Yeah. Which is related to April being like, "Oh, my dad did a seminar at this guy's school."
Basically, the dad also knows he's hot.
Yeah, right.
And then Bonnie also had a little scene with Atticus Shane about, you know, all this Hunter Mark stuff, right? And Shane says, well, Bonnie asks him, how do you know all this stuff? Because he seems to, like, know too much. And Shane says, well, when the new Hunter completes his mark, you're going to want to come to me because I'm the only one who can help. And he's, like, drilling it into her, like, I can help you. Then
He's up to something.
He's up to something.
Did you say the thing about the mark being complete?
Yeah. So when,
it's when the mark's complete. Yeah, I thought that, which means that Jeremy's going to have to kill as many vampires as possible to make it complete.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And this has been the Vampire Journals.
Wait, we haven't done King Fam King Shame.
We'll do.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. I've been on this podcast before. I promise.
Yes, you have. Episode I guess it's my first 6 app. Of season 4. I have to like read the title because it's too long. We all go a little mad sometimes.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
A little mad sometimes.
I have mine.
I have mine also.
Oh yeah? Kink fame, kink shame?
I would like to kink shame Stefan for all of the reasons I outlined above. I feel like I kink shame Stefan a lot. It's his particular brand of self-righteousness does bug me quite a bit. But the thing of him being like, Elena, I'm here, and then immediately getting pushed down and then Elena running out, that was so avoidable,
so weenie.
And I feel like it's because his kinks about himself that that led him to that. Anyway, I'd like to kink fame Professor Atticus.
Of course you would.
I think it's really legendary of him to give a seminar about his true identity in a random high school.
Okay.
Him to turn out all the lights in the cafeteria and put up on a projector.
Yeah.
So that he could be like, anyway. Did you guys know that there's a super cool immortal guy with an S name?
I heard he was so cute.
I would like to kink fame Damon for listening. My kink is being listened to.
Oh.
For listening to Elena. And internalizing like her wishes and desires and combining them with his own rather than sort of like laying them over one another.
Yeah.
I was going to kink shame Stefan, but I can pivot because I'm a professional. I'm going to kink shame Caroline for not listening or internalizing any of she did the opposite to Tyler of what Damon was doing for Elena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to use Caroline also.
Me too.
But but in a way that like I'm flipping from a previous episode where previously I was kink shaming Haley, kink faming Caroline because of that dynamic. Because
girlfriends,
at the time, you know, Caroline didn't know what was going on. Totally fair to be upset.
Mm-hmm.
But now that turns have tabled, kink shaming Caroline for her actions this episode, because she wasn't thinking outside herself, but kink faming Haley because she was one bad bitch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She stood up to Klaus.
She killed it.
I still think she's maybe in denial about her feelings for Tyler, and
she's so hot.
That's something she needs to also square up with eventually. But
I honestly don't think she's in denial. I think she's in wait.
She's waiting in the
wings.
Yeah. She's like, tag me in, coach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 But I think she did all the right things this episode, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Has somebody kink shamed Klaus yet?
Mm-mm.
No. Take it away, baby.
Yeah, I'll kink shame Klaus for not leaving Elena like any video games.
Right.
Or like a fidget toy, like anything in that weird art basement.
Like,
especially like
he has all those sketchbooks.
Yeah, he has so much art supplies in his house. He could have left her like a little table, you know, non wooden drawing implements. Because again, from his thinking, she could have been that way for 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Leave her an activity.
Mm-hmm.
So I will kink fame the 12 people I found who have written fan fiction of Matt and Stefan. Now, most of it appears to be like multiple pairings, but they're like two or three that are like just Matt
wow.
and Stefan.
Wow, we should read them.
Yeah, so your brains are all huge, the several of you that have done that over the years. Oh, the most recent of these is actually March
2024.
Mm.
Oh my god.
And it was
last month. Last month. It's April.
Oh my god. Okay. Yeah, the Methan community is alive and well.
I love stat.
And speaking of big brains, what about a galaxy brain?
The biggest Ooh. Brain you could ever think of.
I own a small business.
Oh my god, what is it called?
It's called Galaxy Brain Design.
What Isn't do you do?
Hilarious coincidence.
Yeah.
I brought stunt products.
Yay!
This is actually the only way I'm gonna promo now.
I love it. Was very fun last time.
It feels the least awkward to be like, tell me that you like these
things. Show and tell. Yeah.
Than being like, I like my thing.
Yeah.
That was such a smooth transition, too.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Speaking of bigger brains.
I was like, I just heard big brain, and I'm ready.
It's time.
I've never been prepared for this before.
You're like, yes, I'm here.
You call.
It's me, old big brain Woodbury.
God, it's exhausting hauling
this
big
come
brain
out
around.
Pride, but are we going to
Oh, I love this.
These are two of the new prints.
These rule. Wait, I love them.
They're rad.
Mm.
They're little, like demon gremlin.
Elle, please describe what you're seeing.
Yeah, so there's one little green demon with like an undercut and like a tank top or a binder that says "Gay as Hell," and it's got like the non-binary flag on it. I really like this art style. Mm-hmm.
Thank you
color.
So much.
You always do really good color palettes.
Thank you. It's all the same color palette.
It's a good one. It's a good one. And then another one is like a little devil with fun earrings and like a lesbian flag binder or tank top. And it also says "Gay as Hell." This is so good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Someone asked us to do a bi flag one that was a Medusa.
So ooh, love
that'll come next.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I have to show you. We make like prints and stickers, pins, patches, fanny packs.
Every time I read "Gay as Hell," my brain goes, "Feeling gay as hell."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, you can find us at galaxybrainddesign.com or on Instagram.
Yeah, and Pride, when this comes out, Pride will be coming up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you'll have launched
mm-hmm.
a stupid amount of stuff.
Already have apparel. We're drop shipping apparel this year for reasons of size inclusion. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You should be able to find what you need. That's already up. And then by the time this comes out, I think, will it be after? On May 1st, all of our Pride stuff will drop. So
awesome.
That'll either have just happened or be about to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Around that time.
Cool.
Rad.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool.
Next one.
Bye.
Let's go.
Thanks so much for listening to the Vampire Journals. To support us, you can subscribe, share, and visit our website, journalspodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at journalspodcast. Good night.